Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I have a great guest for you today, a friend and a great musician, Benjamin Hoffmeister. Hope you enjoy. Dude, I actually, before we started this, I really liked... Just because we were looking at this band role model, this artist role model that you've known for a while. I had never heard of him. And in the kitchen earlier when we were making tea, you had this really kind of beautiful thought process about having the time to, like, you were saying something I thought was really cool about with creativity, that you can't, how did you phrase that? Like you have to go and experience the things, or like you have to, you're not really sure where it's going to, you can't create something. How did you phrase it? Like, we connected it to the comedy thing where it was like by chance and trying and...
Dude, it's been like 5 minutes, and how am I supposed to remember what I said 5 minutes ago? Like, I think about what I said was like, you have to give yourself space and time to...
Is it okay if
explore?
If I just listen now and then?
To what? To listen?
Is it okay if I have my headphones on now and then, just to make sure the levels are fine?
Because you feel more beautiful with your headphones
feel
on.
More podcasty, yeah.
Yeah. To establish some hierarchy to say like,
I'm the one in charge here. Okay.
Okay.
I am the captain. No. No, but it was a really beautifully like well said thing, because we were talking about, you know, I'm gonna make a little note to get into Moonmates and everything like that, because you know, we had the pleasure of making a song together, and I've been a fan of your band with your partner Gloria for a long time. And you know, Gloria is such a creative person, but she's in a place right now where she's not really able to do everything she wants to try. And I think it's really cool when you're thinking about how to pursue creativity, that it's really more of just having the freedom for chaos to occur, like traveling somewhere and not really knowing, like just observing something that you can't imagine from home if you're just home all the time.
Chaos is a very good word. I think like chaos is where creativity is born from. Like you need some kind of chaos, you need order in some parts of your life, to even in creativity to like make something out of creative chaos. But
yeah,
you won't like have good ideas if you just try to think them into existence. You have to...
That's
like,
how you said, yeah. You can't think the creative things into existence. Yeah. You have to kind of... They have to be brought to you somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know you're a big Hot Ones fan like me. Shout out, by the way, to Moritz Binder, Academy Award nominated friend. He got interviewed by Sean Evans for the Oscars, brought me back a Hot Ones hot sauce bottle signed by the king himself, Sean Evans. Such a cool gift. So thanks for that. But we were talking about, I introduced the thing about the hot sauce and completely forgot where I was going. By the way, for those listening, Ben and I, just before this, were just really realizing that we both are absolutely balls deep in ADHD. And I think I've mostly had guests who just deal with mine. but I think we're on exactly the same level.
I mean it's for the audience to deal with the chaos of what we're saying, if it makes no sense at all.
I'll edit it out.
No, but it was something about I don't know. Let's just start over. Let's just start fresh here. Guys, bear with us here. I'll edit everything later. But I've really wanted to, is it officially, it's Hoffmeister, Benjamin Hoffmeister.
It's officially my last name, Hoffmeister.
Because you've been Ben Hoff in my phone for so many years that I forget it's actually Hoffmeister.
It's actually Hoffmeister, yeah.
Yeah, so Benjamin Hoffmeister.
Yeah.
Ben Hoff. I've wanted to have you or you and Gloria as a duo on this podcast pretty much from the start, because not that you guys are immigrants, you're both German born, as far as the paperwork is showing. I'm waiting for my assistant to come, let me know. But you're so creative, and I've had the pleasure of like being your friend for so long and going, you know, being like meeting up at festivals or even making a song together that we'll play a little clip of in a little bit. Pieces, one of my favorite collaboration projects. It's a shame it didn't blow up because I really, really believe and love that song so much.
Me too. Yeah.
But dude, I wanted to ask, like, you know, for people who, you know, just don't know you, you know, where were you raised, and you know, what drew you to, you know, creating music? All just some basics.
Born and raised in Regensburg, where I live now.
It's about 90 minutes north of Munich, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful little town.
Yeah, it's really nice.
They say it's the northernmost town of Italy because...
Right, I forgot they do say that.
They do say that, but those are people that just come in the summer, because in the winter, it's like, it looks like medieval hell because it's all gray and foggy. But it's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful town. I made the mistake once at the radio show where the radio host was like, oh, so what makes Regensburg such a great town? And I was like, is it that great of a town? It was not, didn't realize it was not the perfect setting to have this kind of discussion. That's a beautiful town, and I was born and raised there. So and I think I started making music when I was like maybe 10. When I was 10, I started playing guitar, and the big driver, big inspiration was my dad, because he was always a musician.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
And so I try to pursue different things. Like I studied like economics. Why?
What?
I don't know why. Because I didn't know.
You can't be just accidentally smart enough to.
No, like, but now like, I'm not.
Have you heard that I'm sick not, Beatles track?
No, it was just. It was just maybe I didn't know what exactly to do with my life, and it seemed to be like the easy middle choice.
We also have that in common. Not that I was smart enough to ever pursue economics, but. There was when I was about to start film school, there was I had a gap year, and a lot of that gap year was me not being sure what the next step was, because I hadn't toured the film school yet. I just knew I was a very creative teenager and like really needed to just try and find something like that, but I didn't have the wherewithal to know what I could do. And there was a big window of time there where I almost became like a high school English teacher. I was very, and then even in college, I got so fascinated with sociology. And the crappy thing about the way the format of the college worked is that you have to take all of these general courses in addition to the courses you want to learn, like all these film classes, which sucks because all of the requirement classes fill up pretty quickly. And there's just in the first freshman and sophomore year film school at our school, there was like just a handful of starter classes, and they had very limited seats. So you'd say, okay, I have to take biology, sociology, anthropology, blah, blah, blah. And there's like three classes of like camera equipment, beginning director and screenwriting or whatever. And you might get one seat in one of those classes and then spend a whole semester in biology, history, whatever, whatever, which really sucked. But because of that, I got really interested in sociology, and we had to have a foreign language credit. So should have taken German, clearly, but I took Spanish. And even though I was in film school and had some film classes and obviously had a big passion for it, there was still another window where I was like, but maybe sociology, but with a little minor in Spanish, you know? And it still floated. So I, you know, sometimes even if you're in the path that you're enjoying, it can really just veer off completely.
Yeah, I mean, that's so great. Like, this is what I've been learning now, that you don't have to have just one kind of interest. Like,
oh God, no.
Where you pursue it, and because like it all ties together at the end. Like sociology, like. The lyrics you write, they're probably about people. So,
and, yeah, dude, and absolutely. So,
like now, I'm a musician, but also I'm a filmmaker, and I'm a new trained breathwork wizard.
Oh yeah, we have to talk. I forgot you're a wizard.
I'm a wizard. Yeah,
I completely forgot about that. Oh my god, I haven't asked you about that in so long. We have to get into that. But yeah, so you were doing. We met years ago. I guess it was 2016. 2016 we met.
I think. Yep.
At this there's like state funded artist. What do you call those? Like, it's not like a grant. It's like a grant kind of from the state that supports artistry. And there's a certain amount of money that's given to these organizations that are state funded, like nonprofit sort of state run organizations that are purely meant to just support artistry. And your band at the time, what was the bird? The flying
bird. What was the bird? Yeah, that's a sign that it was a really great name.
Like, for even the flying birds.
Even imagine you can't even remember the name. Like how the band was called the Straying Sparrows.
The Straying Sparrows. I said the flying birds.
The flying birds. We should have called ourselves just the flying birds.
I'm sorry. I should have pulled up your website just to remember the names. Oh man, sorry. Straying Sparrows. You got into this. There's this organization called Bion, which I guess was Bavaria On. Just was it literally the word on, or did that stand for something too?
I think it's because they buy you on the stage. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's Bavaria.
Dude, I have to admit, like the only thing that came out of Bion that was even remotely helpful to me was actually no. I would say if we're using the word helpful, none of it was really helpful for me because it just wasn't. It wasn't very helpful.
I take back my story.
Maybe the helpful is the wrong word. One cool thing was going there to play the Reaper Bond in this small little stage like they do every year with all the new bands. Yeah. But the best thing to come out of Bion was meeting you, because we immediately, I think Jake knew you before, right? That's how we met, was through Jake.
I think Jake knew me from Bruckner.
Oh yeah, from Bruckner, right? Yeah, this other band.
Yeah.
Right, so the fact that he had known you, and dude, I remember just immediately clicking with you. You had exactly my sense of humor, and it felt like a relief to make a friend so quickly in this weird space where I'm within my first like 18 months in Germany, and I don't understand enough German to be sitting through these four-hour lectures, and it's so boring. Yeah. It's excruciatingly boring. Xavier Darcy is there for some fucking reason. Who knows why he's there? And
didn't know we were shitting on other artists.
No, I didn't say he was a bad artist.
I don't know. I'm getting a vibe here.
No, he's... I never said he was a bad artist, but he's a kook, okay? Darcy, you're a kook, and you know we never really clicked, but I never talked bad about you. You're an artist. Go do your thing. But yeah, he's a kook. And we had the funny competition. You remember the competition he and I had about the most menial things in the open classroom? Like, they would go through everyone's social media pages. That was so weird.
Yeah.
They'd go through everyone's social media pages and be like, you have 100 followers. You should do this better. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then there was one thing. I mean, I participated in this too. I'm not better than anybody. I was definitely a shitty too. But there was one, I don't know if it was Facebook or YouTube or Darcy. All of a sudden, he and I had a competition. And one or two pages was, his numbers were higher than mine. And he was like, oh, take that, Prince. Because he's so British. And then, but like at the table. And then I barely happened to have more numbers than him on Instagram at the time. And I remember like... This is so shitty. It's so petty. Because who cares? But I remember like elbow on the table. He was behind me. I was like, boom, take that, Darcy.
He was saying, take that, Darcy?
Oh, I said that to him.
Oh, you said that to him.
Because he started making it a competition about like Facebook numbers or something. It was so dumb because we're all clearly here because we need assistance growing our our artist brand or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
can I just say one thing?
Please,
about Bion, because they're really, really, really cool people. Actually, and they're really no, because I really like
dude,
those people.
No, they're nice they're people. Cool. It's different experiences. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, how much this helps anybody? I think this can they can just do so much.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It's a cool thing that in, like in Germany, we have state funds to,
yes,
to fund artists because, yeah, we fucking need this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's hard to get on stages, to get paid properly.
Yeah. And you know, you're totally right about that. Yeah, that should be emphasized.
They're doing a good job. They're good people, young guys that just wanna help, and like funneling those state funds must sometimes be not the most like glamorous job.
Yeah.
But
they have a good purpose and a good soul.
They have a good purpose, yeah.
Totally. No, that should be that should definitely, I should make that super clear. That should be emphasized, that I'm very grateful that there's even that program. I remember getting into it and being so just blown away that this kind of institution exists, because in the States that sort of thing is just, I mean, look where it's at now. You know, it's that kind of thing is just not there.
Yeah, it's fucking socialism what we're doing here. No wonder.
Yeah, no one's happy here with their state-funded artist programs where you can get paid to go to Reaper Bond.
But I heard like from, there's so many great bands from Sweden, for example. But the one reason is that they have a very good state funding for artists. Like,
that's
they get
so cool.
Paid really a lot of money to just like. And here we can like maybe get back to the topic of
you need
as a creative, you need space to don't know, for things to happen, and like money, as unsexy as money is, can build up that space, not having to worry about rent for 1 year or something.
Oh my God,
might be enough to give you the space and time to be creative and maybe make a living out of it.
So, that should be made very clear. I should try and retract some things. I was making, because Ben knows my whole story. It wasn't that they were actually so incredible. Like, I think the issues with actually music, or my pursuing of that, coming to like a big pause, actually, I mean, had nothing to do with them. That was years ago. They did get me into Reaper Bond. They did actually, no, I think I applied with them after they had kicked me out. The problem was that after like 1 year, they, with no warning and no explanation, had removed me from their program. I am pretty sure it's just because I couldn't afford nor make enough time, because I had a full-time job. I couldn't afford to go back to that place they meet at. Where is the, is it near Regensburg?
Yeah, it's the town is called Alt Eglofsheim. It's a very medieval German castle.
Yeah.
Funny thing about Alt Eglofsheim is that my grandparents lived there, and I spent a lot of time in my childhood there. Yeah.
That's
it's
funny.
Kind of a dark place.
Yeah, it's very gothic. It's
very gothic. The experience you had, like getting kicked out of Bayon. Like, they have these two phases. Phase one is phase one. Phase two is, okay, now you're qualified to be bigger.
Yeah.
I've been in Bayon with two bands, and I got kicked out twice now, so I know the experience. And the experience is shitty.
Feel like, what did I do wrong? I thought I was, you know. Yeah.
And even if you can understand it, it doesn't feel great as an artist to basically get told that, hey, you're not good enough for something.
Yeah,
you didn't, like, it seems like you didn't work hard enough for something.
It's like your dad being like, I'm so proud of your cousin Eric.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like, what?
I would say that's the one thing I didn't like about Bayon is this process of it's like an award, like this like those casting shows.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not in the next episode.
Well, dude, and like, at least in those reality shows, they give some explanation. I think I felt so, I mean, I don't care now, but I remember at the time, I remember calling you or texting you about it, being like, dude, what the hell? I don't understand. Because there was no, like, there is no explanation. You just saw the sheet on the website of like the artists that are in phase two, my picture just wasn't in it. And I remember writing the guy and being like, hey, could you just let me know what's going on? Never responded to me, you know. But for what it was, you know, doing Reaper Bond, that's something that every, you know, up-and-comer artist is always so excited to do. Of course, I was really happy to be there. with the world's worst manager. and then they sent me to the Great Escape Festival in Brighton.
Yeah.
Which I've talked about on this show before, because my, you know, old co-host, occasional guest, Mo Bat, is my usual bass player these days. And he that was his first like real big show with me. Me and him and Mark went to Brighton, and that was so much fun. That's actually where I pitched to him the idea of this podcast.
Oh, cool.
In 2019 was in Brighton at this Airbnb. But anyway, very glad that they did those things. But yeah, being kicked out just feels so shallow. And at the end of the day, I am still grateful that I got in, because we made a cool friendship that has, at this point, become one of the longest friendships I've had since I've moved here, because it's 9 years. 9 years ago, man.
Really?
We almost met a decade ago. I met you when I was 25. I was 25 when I met you.
That's crazy.
That's nuts, dude. I'm 34.
Like 10 years.
Gone.
10 years. Gone.
Just out of here.
Trash.
10 years. And what do we have to show for it?
I'm never getting those 10 years back.
Dude, what's also what I hate / love about you is that you're Benjamin buttoning me so hard right now. Like, I always forget that you're older than me, because you look so much younger every time I see you. I'm aging like a prune in the sun, and you
That's
look
not
like
true. That's
you look
not ni- true
you look
at
19,
all.
Dude.
That's not true. That I mean,
your genes are incredible.
My genes? Oh,
like, you know Josh from Drake and Josh. He's just this Nickelodeon child actor who has had like a long career. He was in Oppenheimer. He's like one of the side roles, but who the fuck wasn't in Oppenheimer? But
I wasn't.
not
you
yet.
You were probably the guy standing in the back somewhere again. You, Mr. Hollywood,
dude. Imagine I'm in every Oscar nominated movie in the background, like cleaning a window. Yeah. he's a child actor that I've known since I was like 8, but now he's doing very, 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 very cheesy, cringy millennial TikToks a lot right now. And a lot of it is him being like, this is 40, and it's like blasting Glorilla while he washes the dishes, and I'm like, oh, that's so cringe, why are you posting that? But he looks 10 years older than you, and you're closing in slowly on 40, and that's crazy to me.
That's crazy to me too. But I don't know. I always looked younger than I now it's to my advantage. When I was younger,
hell yeah,
it was really shitty, because it was, I think the last time I got asked for my ID when I bought beer was when I was 26. Really?
Wait, but in Germany that means that they thought you were not 16.
Yeah.
Are you guys listening to this? And you can buy beer in Germany at 16, and they asked him for his ID 10 years later. Oh my God.
Yeah. But to be honest, man, you look great. You look great.
I don't, dude. I'm tired. I'm always tired.
You might. I mean,
I got a broken ankle and I'm exhausted.
No, you look great. You look great.
Well, thank you, man. It's the lighting. I don't like overhead lighting. You know, it shows my eye bags.
Yeah, always deflecting. Always deflecting.
I'll take it. Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
So we met. You had strength. You had the flying string bird sparrows, and I was there with a sassy British man who was translating all of the German for me, Jake.
Yeah.
Who now owns Cafe Blah, which is really cool. His whole thing's also shifted. But we met there decade ago. And then, yeah, you went on, and then at some point, Strand Sparrows came to an end for different reasons. We stayed in touch, thankfully. And then you, there was also another band that I stayed in touch with one guy. That band broke up, and he became a band manager for the Rikas band, strangely enough. But anyway, then how did you end up, I think you started dating Gloria, your partner in Moonmates and your partner in life. You were dating before you made the band, is that right?
Yeah, we met in the backstage room. I was playing with another band called Beiser. I was playing bass there.
That's right.
We met and we immediately clicked, because we were talking like shit all the time, and funny shit.
Dude, she's really funny, just like you. Like, super quick responses.
Yeah, really. We we knew there was something going on, and like,
I think I remember the first time seeing you guys together was at that whiskey bar in Munich. I think I had just played a set there.
We played a set. Yeah, this was the night when we got together.
Oh, yeah. And I remember talking with you two in the bar. That's so cool.
This was the, like, I came to her place.
I bet Munich, you did.
We just I was like, let's watch this cool guy from Munich. Let's watch a concert together. And can I crash your couch? Yeah, she was like, yeah, sure.
You didn't crash on the couch, I bet.
Yeah, I stayed the whole weekend, and we're like, I think this is cool. Let's stay together. And
you stayed the whole weekend. That's so
music
nice.
Music was always like such an important part for us. Like knowing to understand each other on this level is such a big deal.
Yes.
And then it was like kind of logical to do something together. And I found out she wrote really cool lyrics, and I was like, we should do something together. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. And
Well, dude, until
the rest is history.
Bargabani, that was the place. Sorry, I just had to remember what the name of that place was.
Bargabani, yeah.
I didn't know. I knew she, I think at the time, worked for Sony, right?
She did, yeah.
And I didn't know that she was a musician until, let me look up, do you guys have like a list of, oh, I guess it's just on YouTube order, but like the first thing that you guys came out with, I didn't know that she sang. Until you came out with a single, or maybe it was you were starting to play shows, and I was like, whoa, Gloria sings? And she sings well. Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah. She was kind of in the closet for a long time. But the first thing we came out with was, I don't know. I think we made a kind of, like the funny thing with Moonmates is we got together in the studio. We're like, we should record an EP.
Yeah.
We were in the studio when 2020, the news came, okay, lockdown.
Right. Oh, that's when you get, yeah. So you started playing together a lot more then, right?
Then we did a lot of, we'd live streams and a live session.
That's right. I remember you guys doing covers and stuff on like Instagram Live.
Yeah.
Or also originals, but like you with the acoustic guitar and her sort of just singing. And
yeah.
I think you guys did like a Fleetwood Mac cover.
Dreams.
Dreams. Yeah. That's it. Nice photos. What was the, can I ask quickly, did you make your own website or did you use like Squarespace? Because this looks so clean.
This is Gloria's brother did this. I think he might. I don't know.
Dude, it's so clean. Like this is a real boring sidetrack for anyone listening, but I am making a new website that I'm probably going to put out this or next week that doesn't look this good still, but this was an inspiration because you show up, boom, boom, that's what you want to see, shop is clean, and then like that's where you want to go. It's just so, so easy to access. You got some videos here.
Shout out to Mick Mushevek. He did the website.
I always forget that she's Russian.
nobody knows where this name comes from, really.
I always
it's
forget.
It's a mystery.
Because she, what is the, like the, because you're like Ben Hoff, right? And she always has like a short version of her name that I always use. It's a...
Mush, what?
No. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm...
Gloria Mush?
Maybe I just, I think I always just have Gloria Moon. I was Gloria Moon because Moonmates in my phone. But I would say, okay, so you guys were dating, you were making songs, then you started saying, let's make a band. How did you get, this is Peter, right? The bass player?
Yeah,
and then Lucas,
yeah,
he also like helps produce the songs you guys make. I have to say, and if you guys, you know what, I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes here. So if you want to pause and watch this now, do it, or at least do it when the interview's over. But one thing that really, for me, really broke the mold of like not just what affordable budget indie bands can do if they're just talented, but when you see a friend, you know, like we work in these creative fields, we have a lot of friends who do creative things, and we'd be lying if we said that all of them were equally as talented as the next one. like, not every friend we have has, you know, just bangers after bangers with music, and not every friend makes the most beautiful thing. We support them and we love them, and sometimes they do make fucking gas, like, amazing stuff, of course. But what really broke the mold for me, where I was like, okay, this is the new standard for, I'm going to hold for my other friends, as well as the standard for what I think of, like, a low budget track and music video can look like, was Easy Fix, dude.
Thanks, man.
The production design, the cinematography, the color grading, the costumes, the production in the, on the song alone. I mean, I that was on my, was it 2021? 2022?
I think, when did we, I think 2020.
Or 2020. That was in my, like, top 10 most listened songs. Like, I, for that year, I love the hook on Easy Fix so much. And the video is so professional. Like, you look at that and you go, how are these guys, like, I've, you know, been to your place. This is just, like, indie artists. You know, you have good gear and you're really good at what you do. And it just goes to show that you don't have to have some warehouse or whatever to make things look good. You had the storyline of, like, the advertisements with the, you made these cool products with Easy Fix on it. And everything just looks so beautiful. So that's in the show notes, guys. If you go watch it, just for the, if not for the video, for the song as well. It's so good. And then on top of that, you did Don't Wait, which, can I just, for the creatives out there who are making videos and dealing with, like, graphic design and thing, how did you make Don't Wait into the an 8-bit video game?
So I think the idea started, like, okay, man, the Easy Fix video, it was really a lot of work. Oof. And I,
how long
I,
did it
I
take really, you, do you remember?
Easy Fix was like maybe a month with shooting, and it was like, I would really appreciate it if we could have, like, an easy, like, a cool, simple idea, maybe just be in the studio and play or something.
Yeah, sure.
And then somebody said, like, I don't know, video game, blah, blah, blah. We were just brainstorming. It was like, and in my head, I was like, oh no, fuck. Oh no,
Now you can see
I want to make an animated video game video now. And this is not easy at all. This is going to take forever, but yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. I didn't know how to do it at all. Yeah. It's just like, I figure it out while I do it.
Dude, I cannot believe you did that.
And that's, yeah, I mean, you need to, if you don't have money, you need become a complete lunatic, really. Because, like, I think Don't Wait took two months, like, really full time of, I don't know. Just,
are you doing all of the video production and color correcting and everything alone?
Yeah,
dude, that's
mostly we have some videos
that's insane, Ben.
Other people help, but yeah, that was me.
Like, are you filming her on a green screen and then adding, like, a filter to make her 8-bit?
It's a green screen, and then you just have a really low resolution version of this footage, and then it gets blocky, you know.
But are you adding the black outlines?
Yeah, you have to add those. Make it blocky, like.
Oh my god! And you build all of these backgrounds?
I built those. Yeah, I was looking at like Super Nintendo Mario.
By the way, guys, Don't Wait is also going to be in the show notes, just to check out, just for how purely genius this is. This is, I'm so blown away that this looks exactly like, you remember Pluckhead and Mario, like those old the platformers. I mean Mario, of course, but
yeah.
You remember Pluckhead?
No.
It's like red blocky guy. I'll show later, but this reminds me of that so much.
This is like, it's so cool because it's a universe in itself to how those video games were made with those sprites, they're called, those little elements.
Oh, look at that with the crab. Why? Oh, dude. Like, oh, and this there's is so Mario.
So many, and there's so many Easter eggs in there. So many Easter eggs, really.
I never knew that.
There's so many fucking Easter eggs in there because, like, when you start, you have to go crazy, right? This is how you have to do things.
Dude, I'm gonna start, like, frame by, because the thing is, you also, it's not as, you know, there's things when people do something, a tough job like this, right, where you Like, this is so inspired by Super Mario Land Game Boy, these tree platformers. I played that game so much. And then you have all these nice little references to things. But to know that you not only drew where she has to go and the initial stuff they'd see, but you're also making that nice, like, old Mario deep background. What was that Dreamcast game with the gunners that, like...
Metroid?
Metroid style as well. I was thinking of a different one, but it's... Yeah, you see all the way the backgrounds move and shape. The lava. The lava is so good. The Skull and Bones. I mean, I'm sorry for those listening. You really have to go watch the video. Oh, going into the tunnel and it... Like, that's so cool. Objects in the mirror appear larger than they are. I mean, we're literally just watching the video now, but that's... is that her too?
That's her mouth.
That's yes. Her mouth. Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure. Oh, then you got the whole band, right. I haven't watched this video since it came, well, a few times when it came out, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
See, now
here, I have to say, I really like watching this video because I'm really proud of this because I know how much work it was.
Dude, did you submit this to any music video competitions?
No, didn't.
Oh, dude, you should have. You really should have. Why not? Look at this. You built the whole cityscape. This is like the old Game Boy Spider-Man.
Yeah, but listen. Wait a bit. Play a bit forward. A bit forward. And there's an Easter egg for you. You will know it. Okay, stop.
Battle of the Bands?
You see that?
Oh, the Mario thing?
No, the cafe there in the back. What's?
Oh, is that Café Blah?
No. It's from France. It's the France cafe.
Oh, is that Central Perk?
Central Perk, yeah. But it's closed.
Oh, dude, that's so smooth. I didn't realize you put like, oh, okay, I was looking for video game Easter eggs. You're talking about like any and everything. Like, oh, that's so cool too. You built the bad guys. Yeah, I really need to rewatch this again, like deeply, deeply. And you went so far, like every shot of this. And it has like a little story, how she has to like fight her way to the stage. It's so cool. Oh my God, I forgot about this part. For those listening, go watch it. She's literally fighting Bowser in a volcano with rock.
Yeah.
It's literally the School of Rock, but better.
Pick of Destiny.
Right. And then you have this. This reminds me of Pieces a little bit too. These like kind of hypnotic graphics. Yeah, so definitely, yeah, Easy Fix and Don't Wait. So good. Such a like a bar setter. And then when did we do our collaboration song Pieces? That must have been 2022?
I think 2021 because it was deep in lockdown.
Oh, still. You're right. And it was actually, 2021.
Actually, us getting together and recording the song was like the first time for us to be together with a group of people for a very long time.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, and it turned out to be like we got...
Oh, sorry, I heard the drum beat in my headphone for a second.
we got kind of drunk, I think, and played video games a lot.
Got hammered. And I reminded you how great Mario Kart is.
Yeah.
I think I could see it in Gloria's eyes that she was like, why did you bring this? He's going to want to get a Nintendo Switch.
It was a discussion, yeah. I mean, he's coming to record a song, but he's just playing Mario Kart all the time. he just wants to get the recording over with so he can play video games.
Like, let's just hurry this up, okay, guys? We gotta kill Rainbow Road over here. But Pieces was such a cool collaboration. This was such a fun project to do together. It was our first musical collaboration at 3 years ago, man. That's crazy how fast that, I forgot we put all the lyrics in here, all the credits. I don't know why. I think it's like an aesthetic thing. I love an organized YouTube, like when you see Read More.
Yeah.
And it's all these guys.
Yeah.
Like, and then all your band credits, all your links. Mm. The lyrics, it's just like, oh, why not?
Oh man, Gloria, she's like, she loves to have things organized like that. She writes the most beautiful emails.
Oh, dude, mad respect for that.
Yeah.
But we, I remember, so 2021, that came out September. So, oh yeah, I think this is the last recorded track that I participated in that I've released with as being part of it, because this came out after Simple Swimmer. So Simple Swimmer, my last record, came out 4 years ago, and I was quick to think, well, you know, it didn't do what I wanted, but I want to keep putting something out. Like, okay, it's locked down, let's just put some stuff out. And September 2021. And then we put this out right after, like 3 or 4 months after the record came out. And it was just such a cool thing. I had written this song. I don't even exactly understand the style I was going for. The OG style was very folksy and like kind of jangly.
Yeah.
Like dang-a-dang, dang-a-dang. And then you morphed it. You took it and you morphed it into this cool Mac DeMarco, like, I don't know, indie rock, synthy. I don't even know. Like, there must be a really easy genre name for this, but it's kind of like indie rock style.
I don't know.
But it's so cool. And then Gloria sang on it, and you produced it, and Lucas is on it, and Peter. And it was just so cool to do a group project. And I wish that, I mean, with you guys primarily, but with a few other artists I really like, that I'd done more collaborations. I can still do them. We have plans to make a new song together because we both want to just keep pursuing music. But man, I don't know. Do you remember the process of that and like morphing it into
I remember very well when you sent me that, because I was at home alone. And I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater,
like on the Switch, like the OG.
No, on the PlayStation, they had a reissue version out, and I was playing it. Wow. I don't remember which level I was playing, but you sent me. I don't know who did I write. Hey man, do you want to write a song together? And you were like, oh, I think I got an idea. And
yeah, I think, like, okay, maybe great. That was it. Maybe you pitched doing a song, and then I was like, well, I have this demo that I'm not doing anything with.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I think okay, shit, that was easy. I went all the way back to 2021 really fast on here. Oh, dude, I have like demos of Simple Swimmer. I was going to see if I had the pieces demo. But yeah, I sent it to you, and then you just immediately shifted it into something really, really, really cool.
Yeah, I had a lot of time at hand back then. Being locked down also helped.
Dude, this is so crazy to go back. I feel like if I go through all of these old recordings, there's bound to be so many songs that I just completely forgot about. By the way, and maybe it's dumb to say it on here, but whatever. I don't. You know how sometimes if you record a voice note, it will just put like a random word or like your address as the title?
Yeah.
The song that we want to work on, the word that it made as the title, I thought it would say our street name, but it's, look at the very top one. Body regulator. Why? That's so random. But I thought that would be the sickest Radiohead song.
Body regulator. Yeah,
it's a great name for a song or for a band.
That's very proc.
Body regulator.
Why does it do that? It's like I think the Notes app can now track what you're saying, like, and transcribe it.
But that was just for the piano. When I sent you that pure piano, it just said body regulator.
A very body regulator like. Chord at the beginning, maybe.
Dude, it's so crazy. And I also wanted to see if you remember this. So I said, what's the problem, baby? What's the problem? I don't know. Well, maybe I'm in love. Think about it, can't stop. Think about it every time I think about it. Do you remember that song?
No.
It's a very famous song. I learned an emotional version of of this one. I can only play a little second of it here, but.
Oh, yeah.
Oof, that was so loud in my headphones. I hate that intro so much. But then it goes into the, so we said it was the problem, baby. And I was like, oh, because, you know, they're making the Shrek 5. And they were talking about, like, nothing will ever beat Shrek 2, even just based on the soundtrack. And then they played that song, and I was like, that song is pretty good. That song is actually really good. And I learned the piano because it's super simple. I don't know why we're talking about Shrek. But anyway, that was the last song that I had been a part of, Pieces, and the first collaboration that we had done. And I think it's the only song I've put out with a band ever. Because now all my stupid stuff is just shorts, which I hate that. I don't want to see shorts. I want to see videos. Oh, yeah. It's like the last video was the stand-up, then a few other podcasts, hot sauce tasting. Yeah. The last musical thing was Pieces. Simple Swimmer, Smiling. This, I'm not going to say it on the pod, but Ben can see. Getting that one done with that footage was a job, and it was the most annoying thing ever.
Yeah. Which one was it? Was it this, like, really movie-like
video? Yeah, it was some footage that had already been taken for a different project.
Okay.
And this was me, like, acquiring and working with someone to edit it to this particular song.
Mm.
And, dude, it was just like... but this was maybe the most fun video that I ever was a part of, like, just like to shoot a video, like being there with this, like, I'm talking about Daily Bread here, like with the choir. I mean, and they all did it for free, man. Like we went to this church at the Maximilian Kirche, and Killian, what's his last name? Oh man, He has his own songs too. He sings in German.
In German, yeah. He was in
Bayern. He's good
too. Yeah.
He's like the choir leader. So he orchestrated all that, and you know, I don't know. We kind of randomly just went like, "What if everyone wears these gray colors and has yellow paint?" And we sang that song, and it came out so well. And then my friend Ben did this animation. I would say like these, or maybe these four. I would say these four, besides Pieces, are like my favorite videos to have ever done, because this was my friend Guy did all stop animation and like hand drawn like electricity on the frames, and then for the Crooked Rail, Basti shot all these crazy places and had people submit, like, you know, let's say I'm shooting an image of the speaker, but I cover that circle with a little green.
Yeah, but we
and you put
we
the image. You guys, you're in it too.
We're in that video.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in years.
You've done some really cool collaborations with video guys.
He was great. This, I drew everything in this, and my friend Ben Dude.
You drew that.
I drew it, and he animated everything. He made it come alive.
Yeah.
It took me like 2 weeks to draw everything, like full day trying to draw it. Stars is a nice one. It's just like submitted footage from my friend. Woman might be the best video though. It's an old song. I'd love to remake that song because I can't listen to my voice after a certain amount of time, you know, like,
yeah.
I like that song, and I've had a few different people come and tell me they think that's the best song I've written, and I like it, but I cannot listen to my voice on this record.
Why?
It just, in my older years, it sounds so like whiny and like too nasally, and it just gets in my, it gets in my ear. But yeah, like sophomore year, Woman, Eye to Eye was fine, didn't get the best reception. I feel like it could have been better. And then this run here was really like, okay, we're on to something.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, then it was slowly kind of dwindled out. And it's a shame that the last one was Pieces. I feel like this would have fit so well into like a good run-up. We can just make more things.
Just make more things.
But yeah, then he goes on these dumb shorts.
Are you ready to make music again now?
I'm ready. You know, the thing is, I think it's a good position to make music because it makes me feel good, which sounds like so obvious, but I work now in this strange field. I mean, outside of doing stand-up comedy, like doing stand-up, that feels good. Making people laugh feels great, actually. And I love doing that. I love being on a stage and obviously all that stuff. But this part, the video part, it feels weird because although I am creating the ideas and I'm trying my best to make it funny, and some, you know, like obviously on Instagram and stuff, there's a decent reception for it. YouTube is much smaller, but like there is a decent reception to it. I still find myself making something and then questioning it a lot in terms of analytics and looking at just making it and then 2 hours later going, oh, I should check the views on that. I should check the views on that. Which, I mean, everyone who puts out a video is going to be like, let's see how it's doing. But when you make a video 7 days a week and every single day you're going, okay, well, that one only got X amount of views. Okay, crap. So what's, okay. So then you're analyzing, and it's not creative. It's more like, it sounds like I'm complaining that I'd have this job. I'm very happy for this job. But it just doesn't fulfill the same reward that music does when you're making, because music is like literally channeling this God language from your soul, where like, even if you're just talking about a cracker on a table, it's just this channeling thing, the melody and the feel and the flow and the vibe. It's like this, it's its own language.
Yeah.
And the videos are so easily criticized, and it's so easy to look at it in such a shallow, heartless way. It's so easy to look at it and go, well, if you don't get this kind of like views, you don't get those clicks, you don't get those likes, then you can't do this. And it loses that spark. In music, even if no one listens to it, no one watches it, you've made it and it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So I'm ready. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. The process of just creating and writing and recording and listening to your own songs for a million times.
Oh my God.
That's the best feeling. Like, but the moment it's out, you can get into the same trap with the videos.
Totally.
Like, I mean, I spent 2 months watching making Don't Wait. Like,
oh sure, yeah.
And then I was like, okay, if this doesn't get at least 100,000 plays, it's like the most dumbest thing to spend so much time. And I think it is. Got 3,000 views or something.
Dude, it's such a shame. Yeah, it's such a shame.
Like a saying in
it's Hinduism, such a shame.
In Hinduism that you're not should not get attached to the fruits of your labor. You just
I wanted to ask, how long did it take you to make Radio Silence? Because that one popped off.
Radio Silence
and Easy Fix is like
Radio Silence was done by Bernard Chin. Yeah, in Munich in the studio, and it was very simple idea, but we spent some budget on advertising and that's the thing. It's that it kind of like you beginning to hate it when you realize that, oh man, you have to spend money. You basically have to spend money all the time to make people see stuff.
Oh God, it's like, the worst.
Like having a viral hit is maybe still possible, but it's so hard to just break through without any help.
Well, it's dude, so like during the pandemic, social media, especially a TikTok, really shattered the industry and the structure in which the labels would work in, so that, you know, like they would discover artists in whatever way they would, different ways, and then would you know, pick them up and sort of put their money into them. But because TikTok granted a large amount of artists immediate access to a lot of people and allowed them to gain traction on their own, you know, I can't think of the names of the artists right off the top of my head, but you and I can both imagine like 5 or 6 artists that really popped off in the pandemic because they just got the right traction at the right time. They got some luck and stuff and had a good song. But because that worked, now you have every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the planet making songs, trying to get like TikTok famous.
Yeah.
Or they are doing something good, but it's in such an overcrowded outlet that now the labels don't really offer anything. I mean, even for example, when Simple Swimmer came out, I had grown a little bit of an audience for doing these language videos. Nothing like today, but I'd still grown more than I'd ever had. And I was literally like paying them to call me to say I should make TikTok videos using my songs. And I'm like, I'm doing that and it doesn't work. Can you get me into an interview somewhere? Can you get me on a radio performance?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's, it was so dumb. I had a contract where I literally was like paying them to do nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Labels, they don't know what the place is anymore. They just sign artists that have like already a million worldwide TikTok following, because and it basically gets the workload gets transferred completely to the artists.
Yeah,
artists are like 95% of the time they're just doing some social media stuff and not really creating the music they should do. And yeah, that's
It's a really weird like, creativity is in such a strange world right now.
It's a strange world.
Like with Twitch and TikTok and with Kick and YouTube, and I keep finding myself like trying to set certain standards and say, well, okay, if a dream would be to, you know, eventually be on a TV show or to have a TV show or to have be part of a movie, then that's okay. For me, that bar would be there. But then you think about how incredibly difficult and rare it is to even get to that spot. So then you look at the next thing you'd like to do and you go, well, maybe I could try like doing more TikTok lives, or I could try and do some Twitch streaming and try and gain money from YouTube views. And then you look at, there's like 800 quadrillion people doing exactly that. Mm. And a lot of them are better than you or worse than you. And they're still, it's like, where do you start with trying to get traction or audience? It doesn't, and everybody has their own merch these days. It's like, I'm planning it, my own new launch. And then some random guy who, you know, good or bad, whatever, has his own audience, launched almost the same thing like 2 months before me. And I'm like, am I supposed to compete with that? Or like, is he selling them? Is he not? I have no idea. Like, it looks like maybe I'm just trying to copy what I see, even though this was something I had in mind a year and a half ago, but I'm just slow. Hmm. It's so frustrating. It's such a strange world. But that's why I think, like, I'm just ready to make music, because I enjoy making music with you.
Yeah.
And just do it and be like, show a buddy. And be like, great. Dude, isn't this song awesome?
Yeah, it's great to remind yourself why art is great and why creating is great. Like,
yeah,
it's so easy to get lost into all those, like, how do you get famous in this? Oh, this sounded suddenly very like Arnold.
How do you get famous?
How do you get famous? This is completely an accident, I swear. So how do you get famous in these days? Like, social media is such a weird thing. Like,
Ben, your German is showing.
Fuck. what was I about to say? You know, it's so easy to get lost and to feel like, okay, I want to be an artist, so I need to. The most important thing is the whole business, social media stuff. But you get like, why is art there in the first place? Why is music there in the first place? It's to connect with people. Why do you connect? Why does music connect people? How can my individual story that I tell, that I my experience, be of interest to somebody else? Yeah, because somebody else can like see themselves in you, in your story, and feel understood and feel acknowledged and feel like, hey, we're together. It's togetherness.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
And social media is basically the technology. It was invented to bring togetherness somehow. And now it's making it even falling further off a cliff.
Yeah.
If we don't take control of it in some way, it's got such huge potential. It's like we like a next evolutionary step in humanity to be able to immediately connect with every person on the planet. Like, it's actually a great thing, but the way not to get into this whole, like,
we're gonna talk about you being a wizard.
Let's do that. But I mean, it's easy to get cynical about it.
Yes,
but that's the biggest trap. That's the biggest trap. That's the end. If you get cynical about it, it's like, why even? And I fall into the trap all the time with social media. I hate it so much. But actually, I have to remind myself that music is about togetherness. And
yeah,
this is a new like mindset for me and also for Gloria and me, for Mooma. It's like,
yeah,
we want to do it not to be in front of 1,000 people that don't really care, and we don't really care about them. We would rather play in front of 10 people that are listening,
that just love your music. Yeah, dude,
just that, and just collaborate with other people, play life. Yeah. Like,
well, life is short, right? Fun. I mean, it's like, because you want to create and have fun and like actually feel things in this weird world.
And you could also, this could be the thing that you give to people when they come to a concert, when they get reminded, hey man, this phone is it's oh wow, those are people, not just technologies,
or like a vision of someone else that's like actually the real art.
Look how they transcend in some way just by playing music,
dude.
Just by doing something, and something you always like when you experience a band that is really in tune and they really are locked in and really play together, like you experience something metaphysical above the whole people stuff, material things that are there. It's something's happening and we can feel it, and that's what music was made for. Like when you go back to like the old age, that like shamanistic tribal people just drumming like hours until they get in a complete trance. And
yes, dude. Yeah, oh, I would love to do that, actually.
Let's fucking do that.
I'll say this last thing because it's exactly on this topic, and then we can wrap it up with your wizardry. But I this exact feeling of like art transcending, and you finally remembering or being reminded about why you love that type of art.
Yeah.
With music, exactly what you're saying, if a band is in sync and or you just love their songs, you are just like locked in and it means everything to you, and you don't even think about putting some stupid Instagram story. Like you're like, I'm here, I'm singing along.
Yeah.
And the same thing for me with good movies. Like, I don't know if you saw A Real Pain, but
I didn't.
I went to the cinema and I saw this movie, and it was the first movie in a long time where every emotion was felt, like laughter, but everything was extreme. Laughing out loud. There was like some very sad moments, and I haven't in a long time, but I'm so glad I did. I really cried. Mm. Like really cried, and I guess I needed it, and it just struck a chord. And I mean, like even Ify had leaned over and been like, are you okay? You know, I was so okay. I was so deeply connected to this character, and you know, they experienced something really, or they witnessed or were witness to something heavy. And then I was crying during, because I felt like I was there. It was so well made. And then the next scene is one of the characters also crying because of what they saw. Hmm. And the other one kind of like rubbing his back. And I was like, oh my God, I'm that one now. And you're even more in sync with the characters. And like, and then the next one is like, if things calm and you're laughing again. Oh my God, I didn't. Oh, that's so smart.
Hmm.
And it was one of those movies where when someone's annoying you, you really feel it. And when you're sad, you cry. And when it's funny, you're like slapping your leg. And I just don't, like, that's the kind of thing. The same with you're talking about seeing a great band live or a band you care about. That is when you're reminded as a person of all the things that artistic expression mean to you. Mm-hmm. I left that movie. I took that from the cinema. It's not even like an official poster. I just took it off the little, like by the concessions, and was like, I'm going to put this up to remind me of like, just make good shit, mm-hmm. make good shit. Because mm-hmm. if you're specific in your problem, you're expressing, the more like narrow and like clear you are about the thing you're thinking about, even more people are going to connect to it. You know, if you try to please everyone, you please no one.
Mm.
Write it because it feels important to you. Eisenberg wrote this and directed it, and it's so specific. He took him like 5 years. It's so specific what that character is going through and what they go through together. It's a story I never would have thought about someone even making today, but because it's so specific, it just is like, it hits you on every human level. it, you know, deals with, you know, depression and like suicide and guilt and bereavement and family drama, but it's so funny too. And it's just like, okay, that's my little thing of like, make good art, just make good art. If no one sees it, someone might, and it might change their life.
Yeah. That's like, that's the next meta layer. Like when you see the movie and you feel the emotions, but also you feel like, holy fuck, this is art and this gets made and this gets experienced by people. Like this is,
yeah,
wow, this is so uplifting.
Like, yes, yeah, it gave me like hope. Like, yeah, it gives art like is hope. Alive.
Like I had this when I first listened to Fizz. You know?
Oh yeah.
This was
yeah.
like this band Fizz. I was listening to it and I was like, right. How wow! It's, those guys are insane. Those are so like. There's more. And when you experience good art, the artist steps aside. You know?
Yeah.
The art. You're like, okay, maybe the artist doesn't even know how fucking amazing this is. What he's doing right now.
Right. Dude, you're absolutely right. I'm just looking at a picture of Fizz right now. You showing me that band, I think it was when I did the Mila show. Was it January last year?
Yeah, 1 year ago.
I remember you being in the car with me, helping me out, and showing me that band. And Close One is still one of my alt. I've listened to that song so many times. That was a close one. It's so good. Yeah, go check out Fizz. But we're well over an hour now, so I want to talk about one more thing, and then we'll wrap it up here, and then we'll go make some music. What is going on with your breathwork wizardry, and can you explain? We say wizard as a joke, but like, what is it that you're doing now, and is that training over? Like, where do you stand with that?
So
like, what is it? Yeah,
what is it? Yeah, I mean,
so I'm a shaman.
You're not dead, so you're breathing. That's basically it. So
for now.
Yeah, so let me just quickly say how I discovered this. It was almost 1 year ago, and I was in Thailand. Where else? And I was just giving myself permission to do weird things. Like, and I've been on Koh Phangan with my best friend, and we were like, okay, let's do all the weird shit we find out. Ecstatic dance, like whatever. Like, just do it. Just let those. Like, and let opinions the inhibitions you go. Have about things like that, let's just be weird.
Yeah.
We did weird things.
With each other.
With each other, but also some guy told us, you have to try breathwork. And so I booked a breathwork session there, and like, I didn't know what to expect. And you just breathe and on a certain rhythm, and then something happens in your head, and suddenly you get thoughts that are not your thoughts, that are exactly what you needed to hear in that moment. Like, it's really
wow.
And I was like, I didn't even take mushrooms or LSD or anything. It's just the breath. We did take mushrooms later in the trip.
But and maybe we took some ecstasy before.
No.
I'm kidding.
The thing is, yeah. I was like in a point in my life where I kind of needed to change something, and I was just trying to figuring out to
yeah some what self-discovery. What
where you know when you have to let go to find out where the breeze takes the ship, you know, and. And so I discovered that, and I discovered about myself that I not only want to do art, but I also want to do like connect with people. And I was like, maybe I should become a psychologist or something. Like, this seems to be something that's within me. I didn't even know was there. So I applied for breathwork training with a great guy called Daniel Allen. Just like one of the big breathwork mentors in Germany.
American guy?
No, he's just
randomly. Just sounds like such an American name. Hey, I'm Daniel Allen. Call me Dan.
Call me Dan.
Danny Allen.
Call me Dan. Get in the shed and breathe a little bit.
Are you breathing? All right, you pass.
Breathing, you pass. That's $5,000.
Right. I'm gonna fart. You keep breathing, and then you're a master.
If you can breathe while farting. you know, you're a wizard.
Yeah. That's
if you can breathe when I fart, you're a wizard.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Let's stick to that story. This is what happened, okay?
I'm not trying to demean what you've gone through.
No. It's exactly what happened. This is basically,
it's like
basically
two guys in loincloth just farting in a closed room.
Not breathe. Yeah.
But okay, so you discovered breath work.
And I applied for training. Yeah, and I'm done now. It's been a half a year of, like, we've been to the Allgäu in a wonderful place.
Oh, really?
Great place. And man, it's insane. Like, the time I've been there, you also do breathwork sessions. And, like, breathwork is, just to explain that, is,
yeah,
you breathe in a certain rhythm, faster than normally and more intensely than normally. That's and
is the goal to get more oxygen in, and
not really. That's,
or is it about getting into a trance?
It's about, like, breath work in general is just working with your breath. You can
being self-aware, being
you can really, like the breath is the one thing you can control, but also it works on its own. Like,
right,
you breathe, like, when you're not conscious of your breathing, you're still breathing, but you can also consciously breathe now.
Right,
consciously breathing now. Yeah, suddenly I'm consciously breathing, but when you, for example, when you get scared or angry, your breathing changes.
Right.
And when your breathing changes, your whole system changes, like, right, your whole,
the heart rate,
everything.
Yeah.
But it also works the other way around. We could breathe like we're really angry or like scared or something, and mm-hmm, then our whole system would get triggered into the state, like the heart rate changes, but also like all the other things. Like when you're scared, your digestive system doesn't work that well anymore, for example, but you also get like more adrenaline. You could, like, when you're tired and not motivated, you could just breathe fast, like, for 30 seconds, and you will find out that you're more ready to fucking go and do things. Like,
that's also actually really fascinating.
Also, when you're anxious, you could just breathe slowly, like focus on the exhale. That's exhale longer than you inhale, and you will calm down.
Yeah,
and that's amazing, because it works so fucking good and nobody knows about it.
Yeah,
but everybody has a breath. So
yeah,
yeah, but there's also ways to really step up the game in a way. Like, you can really breathe yourself into a trance state. So you breathe for it takes what, an hour or maybe something, like these big breathwork sessions. You breathe very intensely, and what it does, it basically it shuts off your what's it called,
like the conscious brain, like the,
yeah, those, yeah, the more conscious controlled brain,
yeah,
the default mode network, you know, what we know what's around us, we know, I know you know me, I know what I think of this, I've seen this, I, you know,
yeah,
this gets lowered, and things from your unconscious and subconscious can come up, like suppressed.
So it is like kind of a therapy, like a physical therapy.
It really is a therapy, but it's also very trippy, because you will see things, you will hear things, you might.
You can really create like auditory hallucinations.
Yeah, you can.
That's nuts, dude. That's crazy.
Really, you really get on a trip that's a bit like what can happen when you're on mushrooms or something.
Oh, I'm just looking at things to ask you about.
The cool thing is you can control it. You don't like take something and then, oh, good luck for the next hours because now you're high. So you can control it. You can stop breathing and then you're fine again. And it's wow, very, very powerful tools for trauma healing, for discovering yourself to get past this whole thinking mind, you know, this overthinking mind.
So in a sense, yeah. It's a bit like, it's not going towards the goal of like mindful meditation, but it is in a sense a kind of meditation where you're just finding the kind of peace or rhythm that helps you gain a strength or lose an anxiety that you're trying to solve.
You can.
It's just like a muscle you're developing.
Yeah, it really helps develop like mindfulness because you can get in contact with things from your past, for example, but you can just watch them. You don't have to dive into the drama of it.
Yeah,
like you can really really experience something from your childhood, a traumatic experience, but you know you're safe. Somebody's there to help you. You're here, but you get in contact with that again. And when you get in contact with those things that were tucked away so deeply, you can heal them, basically.
Wow.
And this transforms people, really.
Yeah.
I experienced just the people I was in the training together, those people at the first day. A lot of people, very dark stories to tell. You know?
Yeah.
And a year later, people look different. Really.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you look so young.
Maybe.
Do you practice every day?
Almost. Not in this intensity, but just for like 10 minutes or something.
Do you have the same exercise you do every day, or do you do like three different exercises in that 10 minutes?
I don't know. It's just how what I feel like. Sometimes yeah. I feel like, okay, maybe I should calm down a bit, like just relax. Then I do something relaxing. Maybe I want to be like, you know, when you're having a shitty day and you're like, oh, fuck, I just watched the news and everything and got sucked into social media. And how could this day be any good again? Like you can reset yourself, like 10 minutes of a specific breathwork technique really resets your brain. It feels really fucking
That's really
good
cool,
also.
Man. Yeah. Actually, I know we make some jokes, but I really admire that about you, and I respect that you like found something that is helping you and that you took the time to go and learn how to do it and to help others. It's like a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. And the thing is also being a musician really helped me understand a lot of things about those processes and psychology in general. It's like we have this language, you know, we know it's mm-hmm. music.
Yeah.
And from this perspective, this thing, it's like when you're in this trance state, it is like you said before, like, what do you say? Gods.
Oh, like channeling.
You're
God
channeling,
somehow,
yeah. And there's something coming from the outside, like
yeah. So it's so you. Subconscious that you can't yeah. imagine you're actually creating it. It's a channel.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And music during a breathwork session is such a huge. You can really guide people with that. That's very fascinating. And yesterday I was listening to a podcast with a guy called John Hopkins, and he's a composer and he just composes music for psychedelic therapy sessions.
What a cool job.
Yeah, it's kind of got me like a bit inspired to maybe do the same thing,
dude,
at some point.
Yeah, why not?
That's really cool. Yeah, yeah.
Electronic music.
It's electronic, but it's very trippy cool stuff,
dude. Yeah. He's 76. Crazy.
No, that's not him.
This is not him.
I think there's another John Hopkins.
Oh, there's a guy born in 79. That's not. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
79-year-old.
I was like, dude, that's DJ. Crazy. He's doing that now.
No.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. Would you, like, for people who would be interested in learning more about that, do you have a starting point, a website or a place, you know, I could either put in the show notes or tell people to go to start if they wanted to.
Do
try it out.
Breathwork?
Yeah. If someone said, this sounds beautiful, I want to start, where would you suggest they start?
I would suggest you start the easiest way is to go on YouTube and just type in, I don't know, breathwork techniques. Try box breathing. I mean, we could. Box I like breathing. Like. There's no science behind the easiest breathwork techniques. Like box breathing is just breathing in for four, holding for four, breathing out for four, holding for four.
Oh, there's like dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's like a box. Do this for 10, 15 minutes and just watch what it does to you. If you're feeling anxious, do this for 10 minutes. That's a very good start. Another good start is just to look for breathwork sessions in your area. Just Google it, you know. It's very cool to be in a group session with other people doing the breathing and doing this together.
For those who might be doubting any authenticity to this, Navy SEALs practice box breathing. The technique is great for building emotional resilience, relieving stress, and creating a calm inner state. Its simplicity is its power.
Yeah.
Beautiful,
yeah,
man.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Really do it. Everybody breathes. So why not do it right?
Why not do it right, man?
Why not do it right?
Let me just check on. Okay, yeah, we got to wrap this up so we can make some music to gag. Let's make some music to gag.
Let's just gag on our music.
Benjamin Hoffmeister, guys, in the show notes, I will have links to Easy Fix and Don't Wait and the song that we did with Moonmates together, Pieces. Check out the breathwork, mindfulness, YouTube breathwork, box breathing. This is so cool. Dude, I'm so happy that you're here. This is such a fun chat. And really, thank you so much for coming to Munich and doing this, man. This is so much fun.
I really, really love that you invited me. Even though I'm not an immigrant in any way.
But you're as artsy-fartsy as it gets, my
man. I'm very fartsy.
I can tell. We got to open a window in here.
just breathe.
Are you breathe training me right now?
Breathe it in.
Yeah. Dude, all right,
you're
guys.
You're very good at this.
Go check out Moonmates. Ben Hoff, thanks so much, brother. And guys, I love you. Thanks for listening. Go subscribe, all that junk. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.